The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey, you're going to hear us talking to one of our favorite...
The Brinkinator.
He is our favorite.
One of our favorite fitness, health, and wellness professionals.
Why would you say one of the favorite? Dude, he's our guy.
He's the man. The dude knows his shit. Very rarely are all three of us totally impressed and blown away. And Dr. Justin Brink is one of those people. He blew us away when we first met him. And we've been working with him and collaborating. He actually... helped us put together some of our programming for MAPS Prime, and we look forward to working with him in the future. In this interview, you're going to hear us talking to him. We're going to be talking about fitness. We're going to be talking about other things, correctional work. You can actually talk to him personally.
He has been huge on our forum.
I was just going to say.
Huge.
On our private Mind
Pump
forum.
Knowledge bombs.
He's on there, and he helps answer questions. He reviews things if we tag him. It's incredibly, incredibly value to our forum. Our forum price will be going up soon, though. However, right now you enroll and you pay one fee, one time, lifetime access to our private forum. In the very near future, that will go away and it'll be an annual fee. But if you enroll now, you won't. That's it. You'll pay it once. You'll never have to pay again. Enroll in our forum. You could talk to Dr. Brink. You could talk to me. You could talk to Adam. You could talk to Justin, and other people, other fitness professionals, and other fitness fanatics. You can enroll on the forum, mindpumpmedia.com. You know what's cool? There's only one good thing about having a cold, and it's that I sound
less Kermity.
More like Adam.
I sound like
isn't that funny?
Hey, my name's Adam.
When you're sick,
everybody look at me.
When you're a neuroscientist.
When you're sick and talking to your nose, you actually sound better. How crazy is that?
Hey, everybody. But I bet I can still sing better than you.
Probably.
So you know the show that I found on Netflix that's fucking awesome?
What is it?
I think
Sal?
The only one in this room that will like it as much as me is Justin.
Why wouldn't I like it?
I kind of guess this.
You might like it. I don't know. Ooh. How much do you like sci-fi horror type stuff?
Mm.
Yes, I thought. Uh-huh. So check this out. The show the show is called Stranger Things.
Oh, I've already seen it, bro.
I'm going to punch you in the
dude,
dick.
What, are you new here? We're going to make it.
revolutionary show that this is your typical, co-host brought up
typical Mind
months
Pump
ago
Sal.
When it was relevant.
I didn't hear you guys talk about it.
It
came
out. It's so last season, bro.
I didn't hear you guys talk about it.
We were going to make a t-shirt.
You didn't hear it. I was telling you right in your face.
No, I
actually have mock-ups of the Mind Pump t-shirt that looks like the Stranger Things
logo. Dude, how fucking awesome was that show?
It's so great.
It's all right.
They did such
like
a good job.
I literally
job.
Want to choke you out because they did such a good. Where were you?
Well, hold on a second.
In that conversation.
They did such a good job capturing the 80s.
Of course.
And even the music.
Bro,
and even
does
the
it not
imagery.
Remind you of like E.T. meets Stephen King meets
the fucking music in it, the synthesizers
like
and
Poltergeist,
shit.
Poltergeist, all that shit.
Like Stand By Me.
It's
like,
so good.
Like it smashes all these things from our childhood into one thing.
So I'm only on episode
pretty,
5.
Pretty in Pink. Yeah. Is that one in there?
Have you seen it yet? Have you
no,
seen,
I haven't
yeah,
seen
it's
it?
T- yeah. I don't know. I'm like here's what I appreciate about it. I appreciate the business side. This is why I love Netflix as a company. It's another brilliant way to instead of writing a film like I think that was just so like creatively written. They're like, "Okay, let's think here. The people that grew up in the 80s are now in their 30s to 40 years old. So this is a prime time to market to that demographic. Yeah. Most people by that time have got good money by this time and they're settled in. They can afford a Netflix membership, stuff like that. Well, then they create this film that is very well written, but really they just pull from all these shows that we all grew up watching. And it's like, I was more interested in that than I was actually the storyline. I was just like, oh shit, that totally reminds me of Poltergeist, or oh shit, that totally reminds me.
And just the music, the style of the font, the way the synthesizers that they use, and then they capture the flavor so well, like the cars, the clothes, the freaking furniture. It's so brilliant. They did such a good job. Yeah. What's your favorite show, Dr. Brink? What do you got? Any favorite shows that you watch?
Walking Dead. I like Walking Dead.
You haven't abandoned it yet?
I have not yet. It's gotten a little bit funky this season.
This season, I saw the opener.
Yeah, the opener, and I was like, wow.
That destroyed me.
Okay. This is going to be a very interesting season.
It's like
I haven't seen it for like
it
a year.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Really?
What season is it on right now?
I think eight.
Yeah. I believe there's a five season rule. It's very, very difficult for a show that, especially one that's not like, comedy, you know, or what do you call that? Like, Seinfeld or Friends, like that type of sitcom. Yeah. So, you know, the.
Yeah, because only so far you can go. At some point, you're like, all right, you're going to kill zombies.
Yeah. They just kill people.
Zombies are like in the background now.
Now it's just like everyone just like killing each other killing now. And how bad can we smash this person's head in?
Yeah. You know, on TV.
That's right. With a baseball bat and barbed wire on it.
Oh my God.
Is it. Do you think they've jumped the shark?
I think so, man. Like, I think that. I bet you they lost half their audience with this season.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what that means, Adam, jumping the shark?
No, I've never heard that term.
You never heard jump the shark?
No.
Have you, Brent?
I have not. Yeah.
So jumping the shark is when a show, which is real popular, does something that just kind of ruins it and then nobody wants to watch it anymore. And it comes from Happy Days. Remember Happy Days?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And there was an episode, because Happy Days went on for quite a while. Fucking loved that show, right? It was a great, great show. But there was an episode where, and it started to get a little bit funny when things started to change a little bit. People stopped watching it. And there was one moment where Fonzie, because, the Fonz could get away with anything,
right? Say whatever he wanted.
He was water skiing behind a boat.
Yeah.
And a shark... like tried to attack him or something, and he just jumped over it on his water ski. And like after that, it just got ridiculous, and they call it jumping the shark.
That's so great.
Wow, that's a pretty cool story right there.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So I just made it up. No, it's true.
You probably did.
That's really what happened.
I really feel like that happens in almost all series.
That's why they use it.
It's a shark.
Well, and that's why, do you notice like some of your best, like think of some of your best series like that. Most of them are about five seasons. That's kind of the point where I feel like maybe that's when that happens. Is it season five or so, you're kind of rolling the dice.
See what happens with Game of Thrones, because that's one of my jams.
Well, you know, that's definitely one of my two. I feel like there's some that can get away with it. And if you go deep enough, which I feel like watching Westworld right now, that's like another one that you could go deeper than five seasons. Yeah, because I feel like it's such a deep show. And there's so many, I mean, God, Game of Thrones, I have to watch every season when the next season comes. I have to watch like the previous three and like the teaser and everything to remember like who's got a hold of what part, what country, what, you know, what kingdom and who's died. And like, I'm like, there's so many moving parts in that. It's not like focused on one little, I mean, it's like multiple countries that are battling and shit. It's crazy.
I think though with that, it's only once a year though.
Yeah.
Right. So they only show it once a year, where some of these other, you know, movies, it's like they break it up into your, you know, what is it, spring and fall or whatever. And so there's twice and they just, it's too much.
Yeah.
You know, too much.
Overkill on the stuff.
Brink,
sure.
You're a kid. You're a child of the 80s. Yeah. You kind of grew up in the 80s.
Yes.
Any favorite shows from then when you were a kid?
I'd come home and I would watch like a Three's Company.
Was
that one? What was the Married with Children? You know, definitely love that. Christina Applegate.
Oh my God.
Little Al Bundy.
She was nice.
Yeah.
Nice and tasty.
Yeah. Three's Company.
Talking about Al Bundy. I got introduced to what's the one he's on now that is everybody talks about?
Oh, Modern Family.
Hilarious.
Yes. Love Modern Family.
I had never watched that before. And just when we were up in Cabo, we turned it on and watched it, and I'm like instantly hooked. I'm like, how did I miss this show? This is hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Great show, man. That's a great one.
So let's talk a little bit about fitness and helping people, Dr. Brink.
Let's do it.
You're like a treasure trove. There's that word again, Adam. I got to make sure I use it more than once.
You have to use it.
Sprinkle it in all the time.
I have to use it more than once.
Such a treasure trove.
I want you to use it without treasure, though.
Mm. Well, you know why? I want to use it more than once because I don't want you to butcher it. I guarantee at some point you're going to say like troves. Yeah. Or something like that.
I'm going to use it. I'm going to impress you. I'm going to use it somewhere.
So anyway, you're just a treasure trove of amazing information.
You're a garden trove.
Do you work a lot on fighters?
I do.
Don't you? You have quite a bit of pro MMA fighters that come in there. Any common things and themes you see with them?
Yeah, they're beat up all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, when your job is to get punched in the face, you know, I mean, yeah, from neck issues all the time to low back issues to shoulders to fingers to, you know, ankles and feet and knees. I mean, they've got it all. I mean, it depends on sort of what they're best at. You know, is it jiu-jitsu? You know, is it, are they a grappler? Are they boxing? You know, what style of fighter are they? You know,
does it make sense? Do they ever come to you to get ready for, like, if let's say I got a fight on Saturday, do any of them come to you and say, okay, I got a fight on Saturday, I need to see you on Thursday or Friday or whatever to get ready to, so I'm ready for that fight? Does that make sense? Does that even happen?
Not for me. Okay. You know, usually we're already seeing them before to some capacity, whether it's more of a maintenance on their end. They just come in, you know, on a weekly basis, and we're just sort of going through their body to make sure everything is sort of working to what their optimum is. At that point, I'm not changing anything, you know, because I don't want to make sure I'm not that wrench that's going to all of a sudden change the shoulder mobility that they've now got, you know, and we don't need to make it any different. You know, I want to maintain what they are. Now, when they're done with the fight and they've got issues, then that's the perfect time for me to try and correct it. But prior to the fight, it's just them coming in and let's maintain. Now, if they have injuries, then yeah, we're trying to obviously fix those injuries so they can go back into the ring and they can, you know, they can practice and they can spar and they can do what they need to do. So when they do get to the fight, they're at their 100%, whatever that is.
Well, what's your philosophy with this? I find it, like, when I look at an athlete, I find that you have some body types that like their imbalance actually plays into their success in their sport.
Yes.
So how do you handle something like that? Like, for example, we're using fighters, so I think this will be a perfect example. And fighters and boxers tend to have this excessive forward shoulder because
they're covering up.
They're staying in tight. They're keeping their hands, you know, close to their face. They're rounded forward. And, you know, I know some professionals have taken someone like that and they try and get those people to get themselves in a neutral spine alignment, and they work on opening them up so much and trying to fix that imbalance that they've caused, and it actually hinders the way that they fight. So someone who's in the corrective mentality, how do you handle that? Like, what do you do? Do you just kind of work around that, or
keep them there? Right? Yeah. I mean, you're not going to sit there. If you're in a fight, you're not going to sit there and say, keep your posture. You're going to get punched in the face. Yeah. Right. So it's like, no, we want to try and enforce that, but I'm also cognizant, you know, of what that is doing to their body.
Yeah.
Right. So we are still trying to do the same stuff on a therapeutic level, trying to open them up, but at the same time, teaching them you can go in and you can come out. Right. So if you can go into that protective, you know, posture, but let's get you to be able to pull yourself out as well. You know, not teaching them, hey, when you're getting ready to get punched in the face, I want perfect posture.
Stand head up, chin up.
Yeah, exactly. You're done. You're not going to last too
long. I think that brings up a good point because especially when you're a high level athlete, you have very, very in tune body awareness, right? You have to be at that level.
So I think one of your past podcasts that I was listening to, and I was laughing when I was hearing it, because it's like all my professional athletes, they are perfect at cheating.
What do you mean?
Their body cheats like no other. They cheat their movements more so than the normal person. This is why a lot of them are at the level that they're at. Mm. They're able to cheat their position better than someone else.
That's a unique way.
So give me an example of that. Mm. Like they're trying to do a squat, or they're moving a particular way.
They try and do a squat and they can't even get their butt past 90 degrees. Mm. Or I've got runners that can't even activate their feet, yet they're running on their feet all the time. You know, or
they've become really fucking good at doing working with what they have.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's right along the point that I was going to make is, like, I remember when I, you know, the 6 years that I trained in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, during that period of time, there were a couple times where I, you know, because I was still lifting weights, I would want to bulk up, or I'd want to, you know, drop body weight. And if I let my body change shape too much, it's as if I lost some of my technique. But it wasn't because I was a big guy or a smaller guy. It's because I was used to my body in a certain way when I was learning and drilling that technique. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's almost like you guys ever see, you know, it's like a teenager, you know, they grow up real fast and they look kind of awkward and lanky. Or when you got a 2-year-old dog or 1.5-year-old dog and it gets real big and it just looks goofy at first because they don't have that body awareness. The term old man strength, I think that's probably where it comes from, right?
Yeah.
I've always remembered that, like, oh, why are these old guys so fucking strong? It's because they've been in their bodies for so long. They're so used to their body.
They know their body better. Yeah.
They've got incredible body awareness.
Well, when you think it makes so much sense to me when you say it like that. I mean, imagine
right now if I made you 2 inches shorter, you'd immediately become awkward because you're just not used to yourself being that short. You know what I'm saying? Or even 2 inches taller. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to get used to you become aware of your body, and if you change it too much, you're going to lose that ability to perform or whatever. So it's almost like, God, now that I'm saying that, it sounds like a delicate balance on your part, right? You don't want to change them so much that now they have to like change their technique.
No. Wow. It's like I, you know, last year I got the opportunity to go travel with a fencer that, you know, she made it to the Olympics. And so,
oh, fencing, you know, fencer, yeah.
Yeah. So they're always in an awkward position. You know, it's always like in a lunge position, but with
one
their,
side.
Oh, yeah. One side for sure. So I'm not really sitting there to try and say, okay, let's get your right hip to be the same as your left. No, I'm going to try and optimize what that position is on your right to your left, right? And make sure that right now you're doing well. But let's still make sure that you can do the motion. You know, let's make sure your hips are still what they're supposed to be doing. But when you're training in that specific capacity.
Now, would you say that if I have a young athlete, you know, let's say, you know, in their teens or whatever, that off season would be a good time to try and balance them out to prevent injury. But then when they're in the actual training, you know, in season, then you'd strengthen those positions, because there's a conflicting, you know, feeling I get when I hear that. Because, I mean, obviously this person came to you for max performance, and that's what you're going to do. But on the other side of it, if I have like a kid who's, you know, a base, you know, a pitcher or, you know, whatever, I'm thinking, man, I want to make sure this kid doesn't have like all these problems later on. Like, how do you do that? Is it off season? Well, is that when you do
that? I feel like this goes to like, I think we know that sports are, let's be honest, they're not the healthiest thing for the body whatsoever.
Especially not today.
Yeah. Right?
It's one sport oriented.
And it's becoming more extreme, right? Yeah. I mean, you're having to start at a younger and younger and younger age to become at that elite level. Yeah. I mean, what the kids are doing now, what compared to 20 years ago is insane. So
crazy.
Which is means that really what's happening is they're having to create these patterns at an even younger age, which we're really setting ourselves up. So it really comes down to your priority. And we've talked about this before that, you know, to each their own. Everyone has their own goals. And if you really have this desire to be a professional athlete or do that, you are making sacrifices.
Yeah.
You are going to sacrifice overall health. That is not, it's not ideal for your body. It's just being aware of that and being okay with that. So then, you know, when you ask a question like that to Dr. Brink, I think, well, I mean, I really feel like that has to be the question that you ask the athlete. Like, what is a priority to you? Yeah. Do you want me to continue to enhance your performance, or do you want to make sure we got to be careful of what the future is going to be because of the way you're putting your
the patterns you're establishing and setting yourself up with in the future and what you may experience as far as pains, arthritises, all these kinds of things, because you decided, you know, that this was the priority and I wanted all high performance in my sport.
Right.
Now, in your opinion, Dr. Brink, you know, you've worked with lots of athletes. What category of athlete would you say are probably the most, I don't know, imbalanced, where you see some of these just dramatic, you know?
Can we guess or what?
Yeah, throw
it out there. What do you think?
Yeah, we should guess.
Well, I would imagine fencing would be one of them.
Fencing's a big one.
Because you're gonna be always in that one-sided.
I don't think anything would beat off the top of my head, beat a pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, pitcher's a big one.
Yeah.
You know,
I would definitely think
runners.
I mean,
oh shit,
runners. Because I mean, especially now,
because they were poor going in, and then it's just reestablished that.
And what's big now is all the OCR stuff, right? The Spartan races, the Tough Mudders, right? And what do they do now? They're carrying bags of rocks up and down hills.
Fuck, I love you saying that.
You know, and I think it's great for them, but again, how do they go and train?
Yeah,
right. You know, they're in the gym training. Well, that doesn't equate to the same tissue load or tissue demands out on a hill. You know, running out of 45 degree angle, carrying a 100-pound, you know, thing of rocks. And, you know, again, what's that demand over an uneven surface? You know, can your ankles handle it? Mm. Right? Can your feet handle it? You know, can your hips? And so all of a sudden the body becomes so imbalanced. It's like, how do we try and regress them back to just a basic pattern to begin with, or just getting the body, hey, can your ankle move how it's supposed to? Because if it can't, then you're going to roll your ankle when you get out there on the hill.
I want to take back my athlete. I would actually then, now listening to that, then CrossFit has to be one of the top ones. You have to see more CrossFit people than a lot of people, I would say.
So unless
they're like,
I think overuse injuries.
So it's funny with CrossFit is in my other office is inside of a CrossFit box, you know, so I see a lot of them, but it's not because CrossFit hurt them, right? And this is something I try and get them to understand, you know, because I hear it all the time. Oh, a deadlift hurt me. A deadlift didn't hurt you. You hurt you, right? You didn't have the capacity to do the deadlift. The deadlift is a goal, right? When we all know what a deadlift is, and, you know, it's the same across the board. Mm-hmm. So that you didn't walk in that day and say, all right, today's going to hurt me. Because if that's the case, you're not going to go lift.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so you going in, you did something. Were you over fatigued? Did you set up wrong? You know, what was the process that led you to hurt your back on the deadlift? Mm-hmm. Because then you go see your MD, right? And the MD says, well, take 6 weeks off, take these pills, come back, see me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Stop deadlifting. Okay, then stop bending over and grabbing your shoes. Yeah. Don't brush your teeth because you just hip hinged, right? And that's, for me, is such a hard thing to try and, you know, establish. Is like, you got to look at what the motion was. It was you that failed, right? So now we go into a runner, we go into a fighter, we go into, you know, a pitcher, right? What was the mechanism by which set them up for disaster to begin with? Because it's usually not the motion. Now, as a pitcher, okay, it's a repetitive strain pattern. We can see that. But why over time was that tissue not able to accept that load? And then why did that one time, boom, it just snapped?
It sounds like your philosophy kind of stems, it comes from like, hey, your body is able to do all these incredible things. It's actually able to do much more than we think. And when you get hurt, it's not because your body failed. It's because you just didn't train it properly.
Correct.
Train it properly, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was when I was in Korea. I was watching the Korean Olympic team, and I was watching this guy. You know, and he was the 2012 Olympian. You know, gymnast. And he was warming his shoulders up on the uneven bars, and then he went onto the floor, and he was running on the floor, and he did one flip in the air, landed, bam, Achilles popped.
Oh.
It's like, why did that one time, and I guaranteed he'd probably done that thousands of times prior, what did he not do that one morning, or what set him up for that disaster because now he wasn't able to go to the 2016 Olympics?
Right. And connecting
you know,
that, right?
Exactly.
Because that's the – I think that's
a great – it's like that's such a great way to think about it because – here's somebody that's done that a billion times. He did it as part of a warm up.
That's his life.
Yeah, right? It probably wasn't like this crazy thing. No. And then it was
their warm up. Is what they were doing, just out on the floor, just doing their little flips, and he landed, and you just watched it snap, and he just buckled to the ground. You know, so it's like, why did that happen on that one day? Because I guarantee if he knew he was going to tear his Achilles, he wasn't coming to practice that day.
Mm-hmm. It's not like he had damaged it at all. Prior to that, there was no hidden issue going into
it. Well, on my end, I don't know. Right? Okay. I don't know what his history was, but obviously he's out there doing it, so he had enough capacity to go out there and do his warm-up. So,
you know, this reminds me a lot of what motivated us too for like Prime. I mean, this is that same mentality. Is nobody talks about the importance of getting your body ready before you go lift.
Exactly.
We put so much emphasis on, oh, do this, do that. You're going to get the most from this. Oh, this is the best program for this. This is the best program for that. It's like nobody's talking about prepping your body for any of those workouts, because all of those workouts can be super efficient for each and every one of us. But if you don't learn how to get your body ready going into it, that's where this stuff happens.
Yes.
Or let's not even talk about injury. That's where you don't maximize your lift.
Yes.
Like you can get so much more out of your lifts when you learn how to prep the body going into it and have that understanding of making those connections.
Yep.
That's a lot of what Prime was really all about, what motivated us for that.
Now, you have in the past, you talked about in our last episode how you had torn, was it your ACL on both sides?
Left one was surgically repaired 10 years ago. Right one I tore 4 years ago has not been repaired so far.
So you tore them relatively recently?
Like my left one was 10 years ago from playing basketball. My right one was 4 years ago playing soccer.
Now, did you identify why you were so prone to knee injury?
Left one at the time, I thought I was just in lifting weights and, you know, I could dunk and all that. I thought, wow, I'm strong. You know, all it was catch a pass and I pivoted and boom, buckled in half. So at that point is really what set me on my quest for there's got to be more than just strength, you know, and just being strong wasn't it, because clearly that wasn't a strength move by catching a pass and just pivoting. You know, that was more of a, okay, how does my body be strong, but now all of a sudden I just ripped my, you know, ACL in half.
Mm.
And again, that was sort of what prompted me now to do the sort of the NASM stuff and the CES and the PES. And then that's sort of what just kept prompting me. And my right one, I think, was just sort of a freak accident where I chased a guy down and my quad contracted way too hard and just sheared it right in half.
Wow.
So
how are your hips? The reason why I ask you that is because your past was you were competitive at a pretty high level in water polo.
Yep.
And there's a lot of treading water, right? Which is I'm not super familiar with water polo, nor am I an excellent swimmer, but treading water requires egg beater motion.
Correct.
I'm with you on
now.
That.
Anecdotally speaking, I've worked with athletes in the past who were water polo. I worked with a synchronized swimmer who was at a high level, and that egg beater pattern, because the knees obviously can flex and extend. They don't rotate. They don't bend laterally, but the hips can do a lot of these different movements. And you're doing this egg beater pattern. Do you think that might have contributed to your both knees having those issues, or do you think?
Could have. I think a lot of it probably was just me being in school. You know, and I was sitting for 3 years when I was in chiropractic school. So I go from
good point because it didn't happen when you were competing. No. Yeah.
So go more, you know, elite level, you know, as I was playing, where I was more functional, if you will, you know, where my body was more functional on that end, to sitting for 3 years and then going out there and then playing basketball required me to rotate. Right. And then I rotated and my body's like, I don't understand what rotation means right now, you know, and something goes.
Oh, I literally felt this just, God, when were we down in, what was that? When we went down to San Diego this summer. So it's not even like 6-7 months ago. I'm feeling in great shape as far as like body fat percentage. My buddies and I decided we're going to throw a little like football on the beach. And just taking off to run in the sand, like all, I literally felt like I strained a hip flexor, then my hamstring. I was like, it was, I ran three plays and I literally had to tell my buddies, like, you know what? I can see where this is going. You know, like I got to, I'm smart enough to stop. And I wasn't even going at 100%. It was just, you know, when you stop using that, and I'm a strong guy, I can squat, I can deadlift, I can do all these things, but my body was not used to moving and asking for it to move that explosively like that. And boy, it tells you, if you've been out of that, it's not like fucking riding a bike. You can't just get right back on and go at that speed again. But our minds sometimes tell us that
And I think that's where a lot of people can get injured again, right? Because they do their activity, they get injured, they take their time off, and they want to jump right back into what they were before. Yeah. Well, if they took 6 weeks off, your tissue has changed in 6 weeks. If you take a month off, you take 2 months, whatever the heck it is, right? Your tissue is already starting to change. So if you take that time, rest, right? Because that's what everyone says, oh, just go rest. Well, what does rest mean? If you're resting, I want you working on everything else to get everything else primed and ready to go, right? So your body is optimally ready to go when that tissue is healed.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you think of that, right, like as far as priming the body, getting it ready for these movements that you're about to call upon it, like what would you think, like if you had to give it a percentage or an idea of like how important is that into like the overall success, not just for an athlete, but I mean, including an athlete, but also like somebody who is trying to build muscle and to just be stronger inside the gym. Like how much do you think that carries over into their lifts and their performance inside the gym?
Well, it's huge. You know, I mean, you got to look at just the bicep itself. You know, we look at the bicep as just an action and reaction, right? Oh, it brings my hand up to my deltoid, right? It just flexes the arm. No, it doesn't. It does a lot more than just that, right? I mean, if you rotate your hand in and out, bicep is still moving. So you're still hitting different fibers. That's why, you know, as you're doing your bicep curls or hammer curls, you start changing wrist position, hand position. Well, what do we like to work in? We like to work in what we're stronger in. We don't like to do what we're weaker in, right? If we're tighter in an area, we don't like to work on what we don't like to work on. So what starts to happen? That's your limiting capacity. Mm. So all of a sudden you put yourself into a position that requires that motion. What happens? Injury. Mm. You know, so as we're now going to the gym and you want to train better, yes, you need to prime your area, right? You want to make sure that you're optimizing as much of that tissue as you can. So the biggest range of motion you can get, you know, out of that joint. Because if you need to call on all those muscle fibers to work, I'd much rather call on 100% of them versus 50% because I've always been working in a shortened range. And we wonder why we can't do something different.
Now, one thing you talked about in our last episode is you mentioned something about control, like controlling, all of the different parts of range of motion. And one thing I remember you did with, I believe it was Adam's assessment, where you showed him his range of motion. And I believe it was in his toe.
Yeah.
You said, here, and you just picked up his toe and moved it with your hand. You're like, this is your actual range of motion, yet you can't move it within this range of motion. You know, maybe explain to our listeners the difference between range of motion and control.
Well, so range of motion is, you know, let's say you can, you know, passively you lay on your back and you try and pull your foot, you know, up to like you're doing a straight leg raise. And passively your trainer, your doc, whoever it is, they can get you to 90 plus degrees. But now then we try and have you lift it and you only make it to 70. So now you're losing 20 plus degrees of active range of motion that we know you do have. Your muscles just don't have the ability to get you there. You know, so in that assessment where I had, you know, Adam lift his left big toe, you know, and then I lifted it up even more. So we gained another maybe 5 or 10 degrees of range of motion out of his toe. But once I let go, it dropped back down towards the ground. So, and that's something that as he's probably walking, he's probably not using his toe to that capacity. So he's probably rolling off the toe in a different fashion. So now his foot mechanics are going to change. Right. So now tissue tension is going to change and his foot is going to start, you know, to change, whether it's now, you know, pronating or supinating, just depending on what his issue is.
It's literally you're just turned off in that range of motion. Like your CNS is just not firing.
Well, yeah, you gave it prioritizes it based off of the patterns you established.
Well, it's like, you know, how many people that you've worked on can actually like pull their heel to their butt? Yeah. Right. I mean, they've got great range of motion, right? You can, they can do, you know, they can stand whatever and pull their heel to their butt. But the moment they let go, can they keep their heel on their butt? And what happens if they do? Hamstring gets cooked.
Yeah.
Right. So what is that? That's that neurologic confusion. It's going, I have never been this short before and called upon to actually work. Right. So all of a sudden we cramp and what's our body do? Oh, straighten it out. Stretch it out. No, stay in it.
Right.
Right.
It just
teach it.
The muscles are stupid. I mean, true. This is why when people say muscle confusion, you're not confusing.
They're already confused. Yeah.
You're not confusing the muscles.
Let's
what you're doing.
Control them.
You're just training, you know, the central nervous system in different ways. In reality, that's what you're training.
Yeah.
More
than
anything, you know, it's the CNS. It has nothing to do with, you know, your muscles will contract. Well, they'll move and contract in the way your CNS can you know,
tells
can
it to
move them. Absolutely. So how do you get that then? How do you, if I pull up my heel to my butt with my hand and I've got the range of motion, but now I let go and I can't get my heel all the way up, what would be the steps to getting
sit
to that
there
point?
And pull it as hard as you can and hold it there.
Yeah.
Keep teaching yourself, okay, we can go
pull it without your hands, you mean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like you're trying to bring your heel up to your butt without using the assistance of your other or any of your hands to bring it there. So you have to actively do that. And you will cramp up like a motherfucker because I've done this before.
Like sitting in a lunge position, you know, and that down leg on the backside, you just pull your heel up to your butt. How far can you actively pull your heel all the way up before that hamstring takes off? And when it does, stay there, right? Don't straighten it out. Stay in that moment because that's your body's maximal contraction, right? And we want to teach it. It's okay to be there, right? And then try and pull a little bit harder. And I would ramp them up at that point, you know, and say, I want you to squeeze harder, pull harder, pull harder, and pull harder. And at that point, they're screaming at you already because that hamstring is just lit up.
Yeah.
And it's going to be sore. And they just did one rep, right? And it's sore as all can be. That's going to be harder than doing any like, you know, hamstring curls on a ball or anything like that, because what did you just do? You just taught it to go in its shortest capacity possible at that moment in time. Mm. And then tomorrow or the next day when we do it again, right, we go a little bit further and go a little bit further.
Well, so this is – it's kind of good to hear this, and I'll tell you why. As trainers, we understand when we train a client, new client, right, beginner, who's hasn't worked out or hasn't worked out for a long time, that they're going to make initially very rapid strength gains. Like if I take a beginner – It's not out of the realm for me, especially if they're, you know, if I can get him into a proper squat or whatever. It's not crazy for me to be able to add 50 pounds to the squat in a month or less, because it's their CNS that starts to adapt way before they actually build any muscle. I'll get someone from a 100-pound squat to 150-pound squat, not huge visible changes in their quads, but they've gone up, you know, 50%, and it happened in a very short period of time. Does that happen with what you're talking about? Do you see quick adaptations when we're dealing with what you're talking about as well?
Well, you can, you know, and again, I think it depends on the person, you know, that you're dealing with, you know, so as you're doing that, your regular desk jockey, you're probably not going to get that, because where are they always sitting at 90 degrees, right? So that's something that I would say, okay, I want you doing this numerous times a day today. Right.
How many times would you say?
Hey, as often as you got. 30, 40, 50 times is what I'm telling people to do. And they look at me like, really?
Yeah.
I'm like, you need your leg to work for you all day long.
Yeah. Just think of it as practice.
Yes. I'll tell you what, like, ever since I saw Brink and we went through my whole assessment and he gave me these things that I needed to work on, right? And I remember him saying that to me too, is just, you know, as often as possible, just do it as often as possible. And I knew that when I left there that, okay, what I started doing was, you know, my mind was, okay, I want to do as often as possible, but right now I'm doing it never, right? So then I just started implementing it as part of my like pre-workout. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing it ever, so at least starting to do it then. And then I started doing it before and after. Then I started doing it like once throughout the rest of the day. Then I started just getting in a habit of putting myself in these positions or trying to get connected like that, like several times throughout the day. And the more I saw myself making that attempt to do that, the faster it accelerated my progress. And you could see that I now when I teach clients and I pass on what he kind of gave to me, this is what I have to kind of preach to them, is that, listen, if you go about it and you think you're going to just do it like every once in a while, well, you're also creating bad patterns more. If you're creating more bad patterns the rest of the day and more often than you're addressing these good patterns you're trying to work on, you're going to see a very slow, gradual progress. But if you make it a goal to be doing putting yourself in this movement and challenging that as much as possible throughout the day, you'll start to see it progress really fast. And that's when I started to see my results accelerate. And I went from somebody who couldn't barely break 90 degrees to now being able to sit in that baby position like all day if I wanted to.
It reinforces the you know, where we talk about how exercise is practice more than it's just breaking, you know, muscle down and hammering yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to practice, and it's funny because if you told the average person, hey, I want you to learn how to juggle, they would practice, and if they were really serious about it, they would practice all day long. But if you tell someone, hey, I want you to build your quads or your hams or your glutes, or you want to get better, you know, abs, whatever, for some reason it's been hammered in our head that you do it once a week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't need to practice it, just beat it up and then leave it alone. But that practice component is so important. Dr. Brink, you, at the moment you're going through MAPS Anabolic, right? MAPS Red?
Yep.
When you were reading through it and you saw the trigger session concept, you must have been like, oh, well, no shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It must have made a lot of sense to you at that point.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you say on there, what, do like 2 to 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And obviously in my office, I can do that more, you know, so I'll just walk out in between clients, whatever, and grab my bands and do them, you know, and do some squats in my office. It's easy. So yeah, it's actually been pretty cool to do.
How have your strength gains been?
Huge.
Really?
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
What phase are you in?
I'm in starting my second week of phase two. Yeah, sorry, first week of phase two.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, phase one, you just saw strength go through the roof.
And
What about any size gains or anything like that in muscle yet?
I haven't paid attention to it, but definitely strength. Because
Adam
for
was commenting on your glutes. He said they look
fantastic.
He said they look fuller.
Yeah. Glutastic.
They look a lot fuller.
Powerful.
Here's something interesting. I want to know if you've noticed this for yourself anecdotally, but when people do MAPS, especially phase one on MAPS Anabolic Red, or even just at it trigger sessions, a lot of people will say that they get hungry, that their appetite goes up. Is that happening
hungry
to you?
Hungry and horny.
No, because I've been playing with for the past 4 to 5 months now the whole intermittent fasting.
Oh, and that's
helped. So, I don't ever really get hungry, ever. So, yeah, I couldn't answer that one.
Okay, yeah, because I was wondering if there was what your theory was on that or whatnot, because I have mine, but it's very strange. Yeah. It's like that heavy type training.
What do you find, what are challenging lifts for you? What are your better lifts?
For me, my deadlift is one that I always just did, but I never pushed it just because of having back surgery. Mm. You know, it's like, all right, I want to make sure that everything is just as optimum as it can be, you know, but I don't need to lift heavy. Mm-hmm. And this is the time I'm like, all right, you know, and I'm just going to push myself here and I just want to see what I can do. And not that I have a lot of crazy weights in my office, you know, but I've loaded them all up and I'm pulling them all off the ground.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, and I'm like, okay, this has been pretty cool because before I just sit, you know, 135 to 150, and just that was easy for me.
Right.
You know, and now I'm up like 225, 250-ish, you know, somewhere in there. And I know I can go more
if I wanted to.
Yeah. But I'm just like, you know, I'm just, for me, just because of the whole, you know, back issue and stuff, I'm like, sure, I'd much rather be more stable. I don't care about the strength, but it's like, does my back work?
Yeah.
You know, and right now it's working. So
that's got to be exciting.
Are you noticing any hormone change? I mean, when you start to build muscle, men typically especially will notice a rise in testosterone. They'll start to feel. You noticing anything like that? Are you hornier, Dr. Brink?
So much more.
Yeah, he's just skirting around what he wants to say, dude.
Why don't you just ask him, dude? Are you banging more often in the week or what, bro? Just say it.
I love it.
That was a sex life, huh?
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, bro.
Our best review came from his girlfriend. I actually haven't done MAPS Anabolic. My boyfriend.
I'm all for it.
That's right.
Yeah. It's been fantastic.
His hip thrusting seems much more powerful.
Trigger sessions 2 to 3 times a day.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it, man.
People always ask that.
We don't do cardio. That's all we do.
Thrusts.
I want to know, I don't think we've ever got into this with you. I think this will be cool asking you this. You know, we all deal with so many people. I mean, we've probably seen hundreds, probably thousands of clients and patients. What do you find is most challenging for you with the average? What's a common thing that you kind of bang your head against the wall with people that they just either don't get through, you don't get through to them, or what do you have a hard time with? What frustrates you?
People not listening.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people coming into you for a reason. We don't do any marketing, you know, for the office at all. It's all word of mouth. And, you know, I think we've done a really good job at establishing ourselves as, hey, we're sort of those movement specialists, if you will. So people come in and we're giving them recommendations. They will come back in their second, their third, and their fourth visits. They will tell me everything that they are doing except for what we told them to do.
Wow.
And they wonder why they're still having an issue. I'm like, so we went through all the stuff in our rehab room and we walked you through this and this and this, but yet you're not, I just don't have time. But you just rattled off 30 other things, you know, and it's okay for you to do that, but yet you still have pain. We're telling you this for a reason, not just because we want to, you know, there's a reason behind what we're giving you.
Yeah. God, do you find it? Do you find that's from people who maybe expect like more of a quick fix? Like, oh, you're going to tell me to exercise? And
No, because a lot of those people don't stick with me. Right. Mm. So they come in, they know what they're getting because someone has told them, hey, they're going to do XYZ with you.
Yeah.
So they already have some basic understanding. And when they do come in and if they don't like what I have to say, they don't come back again.
Mm. So it reminds me of this, which it's a similar frustration I feel like I have. So today I took somebody on new. He's actually a friend of mine. He's tied into the San Jose Sharks. And he's been with the organization for a long time. Really, really good dude. And I've been telling him for quite some time, hey, man, when you get some time, come in and I'll take care of you. And we finally met. Now, this guy, you know, he's got a couple of years on me. He's been in the Sharks organization for a very long time. He's been around all kinds of professional athletes, professional trainers that work all the professional athletes. So he's been around a lot of brilliant minds, which I like that. I like, okay, cool. I'm going to get a chance to take somebody who's had some really good, probably training and stuff. And when we first came in, you know, I'm doing my assessment with him and kind of asking questions. And, you know, he's in this like, you know, it's time to get serious mode. Like, you know, he's like, you could just tell the way he walked in the door was like ready to like, fucking let's get this workout on. Right. And I told him right away, I said, listen, you know, today we're probably just going to do a lot of assessing. I just want to see how you move. And then I'm going to give you a few things that I want you to work on. And then we're going to build on that. We're going to build on that. Right. And he says, well, you know, my other trainer, I have the program from what my last trainer gave me. I can share that with you. And I said, okay, yeah, you know, you could share that with me, but let me see how you go. I'll probably have some other things that I'll have you doing, right? And, you know, like right away, like I go to get him in a squat. And you could see as soon as he goes to get a squat that, you know, he's been taught form. Like right away, he's, you know, looking in to see how he's doing. And he's just like, he can't break 90, right? And I'm watching him move. And then I go over and do kind of the wall test with him and windmill test. And I'm seeing like how he moves. And I'm like, oh, dude, to top it off, when he's on the wagon, right, he's training 5 to 6 days a week in weights. He's got this program this trainer set him up for. And then he runs 3 to 4 times a week, and he's running 5 to 15-mile runs. And I'm going like, oh, my God, dude, you're just reinforcing. Like, and then he's got all kinds of back issues. He's got knee issues. He's got hip issues. He's got all this shit going on. And, you know, and he's ready to get fucked up by me, right? And I'm just like, no, dude, I'm not going to
hit the weights.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to do that to you. And, in fact, when you're done with me and I sat down in, like, the baby position, you're going to sit like this, bro. I'm going to get you here. I know you can get there. Like, it's there, you know. And we're going to put a program together. I'm going to get you lean and we're going to build some muscle. We're going to do all that shit. That shit's easy for me. Along the way, though, I'm literally going to change your life, but you have to trust the process. So I took him through it, and like I did like a walking lizard with rotation, and we did some handcuff to a rotation, some shoulder dislocates, some band pull aparts. I did some rows for retraction on him, and then like some real slow and controlled chest flies to open him up a little bit. And that was pretty much it with the weights. And then we did a lot of like kind of mobility drills, fucking just drenched in sweat, right? Like crazy. And when he's all done, he looks at me and he goes, okay, so what do you want me to do the rest of the times in the gym? Like, what's my workout program? I'm like,
nothing.
I was like, do that. He's like, all I want you to do is to literally do that till you see me again. And then I'm going to reassess you. And I'm going to know when I reassess you if you've been doing that shit. And if you haven't been doing that shit, we're going to do more of that shit. And then if you come back to me and I see that we've improved, I'm going to build upon that. And then I'm going to bring you back again, and then I'm going to build upon that. And we're just going to slowly grow. And it's like, you can see like him fighting that. And we had to like sit down and have like this talk of, I know you've been around athletes and you have that, you were an athlete yourself and you have this athletic mind of like, I'm ready to get serious. I'm ready to train hard. And like, that's your mentality. But dude, that's not how you want to train your body. When I'm done with you, you're not going to ever have this on and off the wagon bullshit ever again. You're going to be so aware and connected to your body. You're going to be good forever, but you just got to trust the process. So, you know, Katrina does all my, booking and scheduling and so handles that stuff. And he's a mutual friend of both of ours. He left, and I was really curious if, you know, when he would like reach out to her to set up the next appointment and come in. And she called me right away. She's like, dude, what did you do with him? And I was like, well, I just showed him a couple of things. And because she was really curious, because she knows his personal trainer with the athletes and stuff like that. She actually has been trained by him too when she was in college playing basketball. And, you know, so she was really curious to hear how I was going to be different and how I trained him. And he was just like, mind blown. Oh, just mind blown. It was just calling, like, can I get in tomorrow? And can I see him on Friday? I said, hold off on the scheduling. Let me get home and I'll tell you when we can get him in, but I'll share with you. I was like, you know, it's so hard to break that of people. And I know because I mean, this is one of the reasons why I was so excited to meet you, was because you knew what to say. Like, you know this, and you know this about your people. And I think this is what makes incredible PTs, incredible trainers and chiros. Like, when you've seen so many fucking people that you already know how they're going to react, even after you give this fucking mind blowing information, mm-hmm. that you can set them up that, listen, I know what the fuck you're going to go do, but you need to listen to me and you need to do that. I mean, you had that same ability with me to just like, and you do a good job of like just giving a couple things, because yep. you know, if you overwhelm them with
they're done.
It's way too, have time, right? Yeah. It's crazy to me.
I mean, today I met the stiffest guy I've ever met in my life, you know, this morning. And he literally had like,
I'm right here, dude.
worse than you. Okay. 10 degrees of motion, like in every capacity. Oh, that's God. It. And his exercise was to lay on his belly and try and prop him up on his forearms. He couldn't do it.
Oh, wow.
Could not do it. His glutes, his back, his abs spasmed on him when he's laying in that position. He couldn't do it. And I had him lay on his back, and his neck was 6 inches, or his head was 6 inches off the ground. And so he went in and saw his, you know, his docs. He said, sorry, we can't do anything about this. Look at your spine is this, your spine is that. You've got this anterior head carriage. It's just what you are for the rest of your life. I'm like, well, that sucks. You've already gave him a death sentence.
I know, you know? Really?
Yeah, you already just
like,
told him.
Fuck you, bro. Yeah. That gets me so angry when
you're 52 and you're done. You know, like, no. So here, lay on your back now. He couldn't even get his knees flat on the ground. I had to put a foam roller under his head, a 6-inch foam roller fit underneath his
Holy
head comfortably.
Holy shit, dude.
So those were his two exercises. Go home. I want you laying in your cubicle at your office in this position.
Oh, my God.
You know, and again, he spasmed in both positions. He couldn't do it. He sleeps in a recliner now because he can't lay flat on his bed. I'm like, but that's what you have. That's what you've made yourself to do.
Dude.
You know?
Yeah. You know, and this
so
is
extreme. It seems like, you know, it could go in either direction, right? You get someone who comes in, and then you know, someone wants to get in shape, right? In, like in our field.
Yeah.
I want to get in shape. I want to lose weight. I want to, you know, build muscle. And then we say, okay, we're not going to lift weights yet. First, we're going to do all this stuff. It's going to take a bunch of time. And either they come on board, or I've had some people literally not come back because they're like, that's not what I want. Yeah. I just want to get beat up, or
it's
I just
the
wanna,
answer. I'm, yeah. I want to hear from you. Yeah.
Do you get any of those? Because do you get a lot of clients that like you're like the last straw? Like, okay, I went to the.
I do get a lot of those, but I do get ones that will come on in. But again, if they don't like what I'm telling them, because most of them are, you got to move. You got to move differently. You got to teach your body to do something different than it's been doing for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, right? And if they can buy into that, then they'll stay. If they don't, they're looking for that quick fix. I'll tell them right off the bat, I'm not your man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go somewhere else.
Do other chiropractors like you or hate you?
I don't know.
I don't care. That was a real long pause. Honestly,
I don't care. Yeah. I've got three that are two doors down from me. And it's weird with our profession because we are so like territorial.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you go to a dental complex. It's a complex. There's how many dentists in the same area, or a medical complex. Yeah. You will never find a chiro complex. Right?
It's funny. Yeah,
it's
like
not that.
That
way. It's very territorial.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. 6 years ago when I moved in, those guys have been there for 30 some odd years. I don't know if all of a sudden they felt sort of, oh my gosh, there's another chiro moving in. I'm like, but we are night and day different as what we do. So whether they like me or not, honestly, don't care. You know, because I'm just going to give you my opinion. If you don't like it, you can go to the guys three doors down because they'll treat you.
Right. Oh, yeah. So they'll crack your back if that's all you want.
There'll always be a market for the quick fix.
For sure.
I mean, even in our industry, you know, people are always like, they have an idea of what they already want to experience. And so if they're not going to get it from somebody like you give them the real deal, but they're just going to reject it right away because it doesn't fit their profile.
Well, I even think that's how, like, if we could go back all over again, right? And we know like the future and what the finished product of all the MAPS programs looks like, right? So we're two away from completing, and after this week we'll only be one away, right, from complete all that. Knowing what we have in store, knowing what we know, like we had to release MAPS red and then green and then black, and now we're almost like building the prequels to the program and
Star Wars.
But we had to do that because we knew if we started the other direction where we want people to be, right? Like nobody would listen. Nobody would give us it. We first had to show you how badass programming that we can do to give you, get you stronger, to make you look better, to make you move better. Now let's start really diving deeper into your shit to where you start to learn about your body. And this is the shit that you need to learn before you do anything, right? So it's so hard because everybody wants that. Like, I want to lose 15 pounds. Like, fuck that I can't
sit. Like yesterday.
Yeah, right? Forget the fact that I can't fucking sit down on a toilet, right? Forget the fact that I can't, you know, lift my shoulder above my head. Like, forget all those things. I just want to look
I want to be on stage and be shredded in 30 days.
It's tough, man. It's definitely an uphill battle. But I feel like, I don't know if it's because we're in it and we feel like we're moving it, but I feel like the tone is changing. I feel like the industry is... it's kind of getting smarter. You know, people are starting to figure out, you're starting to see more of these Kelly Starts and Dr. Spina. You're starting to see more of these guys come out. I mean, the fact that we found you, like, I didn't think you existed in San Jose. I really didn't think that somebody had came over. Do you even know anybody else that's doing what you're doing here? I don't.
They do similar stuff. Now, whether they do exactly what we do, I don't know. You know, but I know there's people that do a lot of the same things that, you know, that I do. But do they incorporate it in the capacity that we do it in? That I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think, Justin, you would know. Do you know anybody?
You need to be cockier, Dr. Brink.
Yeah, that was really humble to say. Because
if I asked Adam that question, Adam would have been like, fuck no. Nobody's
like a sports Cairo that in the area, but I forget his name, but worked with the Niners.
Dr. Ho.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Ho's amazing, you know, Dr. and Ho. And he's, you
that's
know,
what they called me in high school.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started, you know, he was at the clinic that I was working at the time, and I got to learn underneath him for about 6 months, and it was amazing to watch,
of course,
you know, him, work, you know, and it was cool. But, you know, we did our first sort of our diplomate, you know, in rehab together with that when I put that on 10 years ago. And at that point, it's like, yeah, we do some of the same stuff. He's got an amazing clinic. I don't know if he incorporates all of it the same way that I do. I don't know, but I know he's got a brilliant mind, you know, when it comes to stuff. Yeah. So
That was a suggestion that Ben Greenfield gave when we were hanging out with him. I thought that was pretty smart advice he gave on the.
He said, find a chiropractor that's working with the pro team.
Yeah, he says if you're in whatever city you're in, you know, find out what professional hockey, football, basketball, whatever team is the big team in your area, and find out who is the chiro or PT that is doing the work on the athletes. And more than likely, he's probably one of the more elite guys in the area.
So on that note, though, what I think with our profession is. A lot of them can only do a little soft tissue work and just adjust. Oh. So they're not doing a lot of the exercise because that's why they have a trainer, right?
They've got all those pieces already.
All those pieces already. So if I was to go work with the 49ers, I mean, I had one come in over the summer, you know, and everything that I'm telling him, well, his trainer's always going to tell him the same thing, you know? And so it's, do they have the means of, or do they want to listen to you? Right. Yeah. What are you giving them that's different? Well, a lot of them is just coming in for the ARTs, the Grastons, the, you know, the soft tissue therapies, those modalities, the adjust, and then out you go. Because their trainer, you know, their coaches are going to be telling them to do something different when they're in the weight room. You know, so I think, yes, they're at that level because they were good at that therapy, but are they able to incorporate everything together, right, and give it to them in such a concise way that they're going to get it?
You know, that speaks right to how I felt when I met you, was that I was like, dude, he's able to, I feel like, communicate all levels of this versus just one specialty.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember I was even prodding at you. I was like asking, like, well, you know, what's your theory on the grass, and what's your theory on this? Yeah. What's your theory on this? And, you know, it's like there's a place for all these tools, but it depends on the individual and what our goals are and what we're trying to do. And it's just like, you know, I have never had a chiro take me out onto a floor and take my shoes off and say, let's move first before I put hands and adjust them. You know, all of them use that, you know, the freaking wall screening thing and snapshot you and tell you have a
your
one
posture's
inch.
Horrible.
Yeah, yeah, right. And then lay on here.
You're going
to
die.
Yeah, right. And then lay on here.
Have you hold on to the Scientology
electrodes? It's you know, but anyone who's been adjusted, though, we can all agree that it feels good afterwards.
Sure.
You know, and that's the selling point. It's like pre-workout for people that work out. It's like it's so hard for us to try and fight people on, like, stay away from all this bullshit pre-workouts that are out there because you feel it.
Yeah.
And you feel awesome. I can't debate that. Like, you fucking take it. You definitely feel it. Like, it may not be the most ideal thing, and there may be better ways to do that, but you feel it. And that's how I feel about adjusting with chiros.
Now, Dr. Brink, years ago, I worked with a very, very good massage therapist. And something I learned from her, which, you know, before I had met her, I had zero concept of this, was the emotional component behind that sometimes caused pain. and how stress and you know how we feel emotionally can literally manifest itself as pain. What's your opinions on that? And how do you address that if that's indeed something you look at?
I think breathing is the first one that I look at. You know, breathing is a huge one, whether it's, you know, emotional, psychological, physical. I mean, breathing is one's the first one that goes, you know. And so if you become more of that chest breather, you're not even using your diaphragm how it's supposed to. We already know your deep core isn't going to work, you know. So if your deep core doesn't work, you already have a low back issue, whether it's more of that psychosomatic or it is a physical ailment, right? Let's get your deep core to work. Let's see if we can downgrade pain just via breathing. So that's an easy one. If you can calm down, I mean, what do people do if they have more of an emotional issue, right? They go meditate. Well, what's that supposed to do? Check your breathing, right? Wow. If you're meditating and you're still breathing through your neck, you know, those all those accessory muscles, are you truly meditating? Yeah, you mentally might be, but physically you're not.
It's interesting. It might be one of the reasons why, you know, massage helps, you know, one of the reasons aside from actually, you know, manipulating the soft tissues. And, that might even be the reason why muscle relaxers may work. You know, somebody will have joint pain or all this back pain. They'll take a muscle relaxer and, oh,
yeah.
You know, I don't have pain anymore. It's like you're relaxed.
Yes. That's what meditation, right? You're supposed to be relaxed, right? I mean, that's what sort of for me, sort of a good plug is the Brain FM. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you listen to that and you're focused. Well, when you're focused, you're not high strung, mm-hmm. right? You're focused and your body is relaxed, or you're meditating, or you're napping, or you are sleeping, right? You know, and so as that goes on through your body and those brain waves now changing what your body physically, you know, is doing. Yeah, you can make huge changes, you know, on an emotional level, you know, and then psychologically, as you know, and I mean, physically as well.
Wow. Have you tried the Wim Hof breathing technique?
Wim Hof is amazing. Yeah.
Really?
I've been really curious to give that a try, but what does
Kingsbury's
that look like?
What turned me onto that one. Okay. You know, and then.
Yeah, he was talking to us about it.
Yeah, like, yeah. Really. And then I just had a friend, you know, down in LA. She just became, I think she's an instructor now, you know, with it. And, you know, where they're going into the cold and they're able to sit in these cold ice baths and just chill,
crazy,
you know, and focus on the breathing, you know, and I know, you know, Kyle and, you know, Natasha, and they took, you know, their kid, you know, their son Bear, they'd sit in the ocean, you know, and just chill, you know, out there. And I remember him telling me that, you know, there was a lady like yelling at him, yeah, it's child abuse. You know, you're sitting with your kid out there in the ocean. He's like, my kid's never had a warm bath. He has no idea. He doesn't know the difference.
That's crazy. Do they do that? Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's crazy. That's another level.
Yeah. Meanwhile, when I had kids, I could not believe they actually had butt wipe warmers. Have you seen those, Justin?
Yeah.
They actually sell, like, you know, you get your regular butt wipe and your wipe.
Yeah, rest. You heat it. You put your wipes in there.
It heats up the butt wipe, so it's a warm wipe.
It's soothing.
And as I'm looking, I'm like, I'm not going to raise my kids to be no pussies.
When you do it cold, then they're like,
you're getting room temperature butt wipes. Yeah.
I get it. It's shocking, you know, when you get that nice cold thing up your ass.
Yeah. I think that's
say nice cold.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that.
I find it fascinating of even considering doing that to your kid at a young age. Like, that makes so much sense. It goes right back into what I've always talked about too with the food. Like, man, you start loading your kid with this Gerber sugar food, like, right out the gates. Well, no wonder they're going to be addicted to it when they get older.
Give them,
like,
some twigs, some rocks,
twigs and berries.
Well, I know some people that actually get, like, all the veggies, and then they pureed it up, and then they store it in, like, freezers, and then they feed it like that. But you think about these things that, you know, when we are kids and all of us have got adapted to, or that we feel is necessary now, that a part of that was something that we trained ourselves to want or need as a young kid. So I would love to get into the Wim Hof thing, but man, I'm just scared to death of that freezing. That looks cold as fuck, dude. That's way too cold.
I do cold showers now. That's pretty awesome, but it's not nearly as cold as these guys.
Do you do it every day, or I do it intermittently right now.
No, I do every. I haven't had a warm shower since we were over in Austin.
Oh yeah,
I haven't taken one in months, and I just don't. I do the steam, and then I go cold shower, or if I don't steam, I still go straight cold shower, and it's fucking daunting sometimes, especially when you're tired. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm gonna turn this cold ass fucker on, but
it wakes you right up.
Well, I mean, two things: it saves water because your ass ain't in there very long, and it wakes you up, and then you feel so good afterwards. You know what I mean? Yeah. That you end up, you know,
you do feel amazing when you walk out.
Let's take all the enjoyment out of your shower. You know what I mean?
I
still jerk off.
There's no way you're jerking off to 30 degree water. sanctuary. You, dude, there's no way.
That's how you warm up.
You're not going to shrunken turtle. You're not going to close me on
if,
that.
If so, that would be like the most incredible talent, bro.
Shrunken turtle.
Yeah, you need to make a YouTube video because it's going to go viral for sure.
It's take a lot of tugs to get there.
Check your email, Adam.
It's already in my inbox.
Yeah, it's already in there. So, Dr. Brink, what does your personal routine look like? Do you do cardio? Do you do stretch? You know, flexibility training,
I mobility. Hate to run.
Okay.
I put a ball in front of me and I'll run. Run to run ain't happening.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
Yeah, at the office, I do a lot of like animal flow stuff. Crawling and obviously, the MAPS, anabolic, right now that's sort of what I'm on. But in between, I do a lot of just body weight style exercise, kin stretch, the animal flow, just get my body moving in just different ways. When I feel, something's not moving right, I want to try and challenge it back in that direction again. And let's see if I can, right that ship.
I like that you walk the walk. There's far too many practitioners that are just don't, whether they're out of shape or stiff. I've had chiropractors adjust me who couldn't touch their fucking toes.
That's a big one for me. Yeah. Everyone that I give stuff in my office, and I will tell them, hey, if I give you something, I make sure I can do it.
I have to, true story, right? So day before yesterday, I have Stacy in, a client of mine anybody who's like really tough, I send over to Brink. Like if I can't get to the bottom.
You've sent you quite a few people now, I think, right?
Yeah. Right. So, and Stacy comes in and I always ask her right away. I said, did you see Brink last? Cause I try and see her after she's seen him. And she's like, no, he gave me these new moves in bed and he wants me to start incorporating them. Oh, okay, let me see. And then she does it. And then I'm like, oh shit, this is damn, I need to do this. Right. And she goes, no, it was so crazy for me too. I made him do it. Cause I didn't believe he could do it. And I'm like, you did? She goes, oh yeah. She's like, let's see you do this. And so she said that she made you get down and actually perform it. Yeah. So
and she got mad cause I could do it.
Yeah. she cracked me up. I was like, well, that's awesome. But that's so her personality to do that though. Like if this motherfucker is going to make me do this shit, he better be able to do it. Yeah. So he had to get down and actually prove to her that he could do it. So that's great.
Well, excellent, man. It's great having you on again, brother.
Hey, thanks.
It's also awesome. It's excellent having you on the forum too, by the way.
Yeah,
People love you on there.
It's fun.
Hey, listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you'll get a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.